around here. He's the dude who wrote that song. Listen to this. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Okay, some of you need to listen. Mercy is where God says, I'm not going to do to you what you deserve. And Robert here, Robert Robinson, that's what the hymnal says. He's the dude who wrote this way back in 1758. Maybe we should go back. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Amen. Now, we sang that, or they sang it, and I was reading it through here. And, you know, the little pot stir in me went, Shannon, I hope you're listening. Crank up the volume just a little bit more. I mean, streams of mercy that never ceases call for songs of loudest praise. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Let me tell you, you don't want to stand in those courts above, unless you have been washed by the blood of Jesus and sealed by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, that's going to be a nasty courtroom for you. Oh, gosh. It's Thanksgiving, right? It's Thanksgiving, right? Come on, people. We get pumpkin pie and more pumpkin pie in this week. It's going to be awesome. Turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 136 is where we're going to hang out this morning. You know, this time of year, Kevin said, we should be thankful every day of the year. I mean, we really ought to, and I think some of you are, I rarely am. Because this week, I've been reminding myself, I've got this motto going on in my head. It's a three-word motto. It's called, be the one. Be the one, Darren, be the one. Be the one that is actually being thankful. Not just this time of year, but every day of my life. Be the one that is actually being thankful. It just keeps going over my head. And I got to tell you, I prayed this week. Lord, I really do want to be the one that's being thankful. I'm preaching on thankfulness, and I prayed, God, I want to be the one that's being thankful. So Lord, teach me, help me, lead me to be thankful. And do you know that God has been awesome in providing me opportunities to be thankful? Maybe not how you think. I asked God to teach me how to be thankful. And God put trying situation after trying situation in front of me this week. God put trouble in front of me this week. He put persecution in front of me this week. He put anger in front of me this week. He put all kinds of things in this world that most of us wouldn't turn around and go, thanks, God. I mean, I was looking for a newer Mustang. I could be thankful for that. I was looking for a bigger flat screen TV. Those are things I could be thankful for. I was looking for standing on the scale and seeing it shoot fireworks out and going, you've lost 15 pounds this week. Those are kinds of things that I could be thankful for. So when I was praying to God, God teach me how to be thankful, I was really in the back of my mind thinking that God would be showing me all the awesome things in my life that I can be thankful for. I really did. And then I wasn't supposed to be here Wednesday night, and I got to be here Wednesday night, and I got to sit in on Dirk's Bible study on Wednesday night. And same thing, you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 18, Paul says that we are to be thankful. And I'm like, I get it, God, I get it. I mean, halfway through my week, he was still reminding me that there is much to be thankful for, even though in my mind I hadn't seen it yet. So I keep telling myself, be the one that's being thankful, be the one. And then I was reminded of one of my wife's favorite Christmas books this week. It's called The Grumpy Shepherd. She loves that book. She gets that book out all the time and she says, look, it's your book. It's easy to complain. I know that firsthand. It's easy to be the one who is grumpy. It's easy to be the one who is a griper and a whiner. I mean, everybody is good at that. That's just typical. So when I'm reading in 1 Thessalonians and I'm going along the study on Wednesday night with Dirk, and Paul is talking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 about the character traits that are to separate the born-again, blood-bought believers from everybody else in the world. These are the character traits that sets apart the Christian from the everybody else in the world. Right there in 1 Thessalonians, Paul gives the command, be the one that is giving thanks. Be the one in this world today. Be the one in your family. Be the one that is really thankful for the things of God. I mean, really thankful. And there really is. Marvin said it this morning around our Bible study table in my office. There really is a lot to be thankful for in this world right now. So as we look at Psalm 136, I want you to begin, if you will, prayerfully consider taking up the mantra or the motto, be the one. Speak it to yourself. Be the one that is thankful this year. No matter your situation right now. Stop thinking about the circumstances right now. Stop thinking about the trials. I know they're difficult. I know some of them are extremely hard. Some of them are things you never thought you would have to endure. But the Scripture teaches us that no matter our situation, there is much still to be thankful for. Matter of fact, Psalm 136, all 26 verses remind us of one of the greatest things that you and I can be thankful for. We sung about it this morning. That guy Robert Robertson wrote about it in that hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. In Psalm 136, if you were to count through these verses, you would find 26 times, at least 26 times, God says His mercy endures forever. Some of your Bibles might put it this way, His loving kindness is everlasting. 26 times in one simple little psalm, God reminds us that His mercy endures forever. Now listen, church, if we are to take God and take His word, if God says it once, doesn't it make sense that we should pay attention? But God says it 26 times. Now either God thinks we're really, really, really slow, and we need things to be repeated to us, or God wants to remind us because He really, really, really loves us, and He wants us to know that His loving kindness is forever. Think about that thought with me just for a moment. God says, I want you to know that you are loved, and I want you to know that that love goes beyond anything you can think or imagine or dream of. My love, God says, is infinite. My love, God says, is unconditional. I want you to be lavished with my love. I mean, if I walked up to you and said, here's, what's your favorite food? Bacon. Here's 1 pound of bacon, Jody. I know this because I watch his Facebook page. Everything has bacon on it. Here's 1 pound of bacon, Jody. And then I walked over and go, here's 2 pounds of bacon, Jody. And then I walk over, and I did that 26 times. So you didn't just walk out of here with 1 pound of bacon. You walked out with 26 pounds of bacon. How happy would you be?
I'd be happy. The doctor would.
We're not talking about the doctor. We're talking about God. Who cares about the doctor? I'm giving you 26 pounds of bacon. Make a heck of a sandwich, wouldn't it? You could wrap a lot of turkey in bacon. You could wrap a lot of Twinkies in bacon. 26 times God says this, church. 26 times the psalmist says over and over and over again. I mean, think about it. The God of the universe. This is not just Darren giving you bacon. This is the God of the universe. Says, I want to bring love into your life. The creator of all that is. The one who knows everything about you. That's scary. The one that knows everything about me. Knows my ins and my outs. Knows what makes me tick. Knows what makes me angry. Knows how I fail him miserably. He still cries out to me 26 times. Oh, Darren, oh, Darren, oh, Darren. My love for you endures forever. My everlasting loving kindness is to be lavished upon you. That kind of gets me excited. Like when I read in that hymnal that the streams of mercy, the endless streams of mercy it just flows from God into me, and that caused that hymn writer. That caused Robbie to say that caused for the loudest shouts to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Kevin. Who in a world, think of the world we live in right now. It's a world of chaos. It's a world that's upside down. It's a world that's headed straight to 18 double hockey sticks faster than you and I can even blink. The world is going all over the place, and think about it. God says, my love, I want to flow my love into you. The love of God brings peace, the Bible says. Peace in them, and peace, Dirk, is not what? It's not tranquility. No. The peace that God's love brings is not calm waters. The peace that God's love brings is strength. That God's love brings peace. It brings strength. It brings security. It brings hope. It brings love. It brings victory. No matter the situation we find ourselves in, God says, I want you to know, and I want you to experience everlasting mercy. Psalm 136. I'm not going to preach all 26 verses. I know you'll be thankful for that. But I want you to pick out verse 4 with me for just a moment. Verse 4 says, to him alone, to him who alone does great wonders. Speaking of God, the God that can only do what God can do. To him we are grateful. To him we sing praise. To him we are thankful because God does miracles in our lives every single day. So no matter our situation in our life right now, no matter the circumstances in our life, even if things seem to be going hunky-dory and you go, I don't see any miracles in my life today, do you know that right now, if we go back to midnight last night when this day started and we go all the way forward to 11:59 tonight when this day ends, you and I, each one of us in this room, will have experienced 120,960 miracles in our life on average. Let me say that again. You, on average, will have experienced 121,000 miracles just today if you're average. Some of you are above average. And that's not always good because if your heart rate is above average, it's probably not a good thing. If your respiratory rate is above average, that's probably not always a good thing. So some of you get to experience more than 121,000. You see, it's 17,280 breaths and 103,680 heartbeats if you're average. Do not, my friends, discount 121,000 miracles in your life today. Most of us in this room didn't even think about that. And most of us in this room will walk out of the doors today and never, ever, ever, we will complain and gripe and moan to God about the miracles that are not happening in our life when 121,000 of them will take place every moment you and I stand on this earth. Start multiplying that by the number of years that you've been on this planet. And you will begin to see that God is blowing your life wide open with miracles. Look at creation. I mean, think about it. Only God can do creation. It was Tuesday night, was it, after the rains came through this week? Maybe it was Monday night. I don't remember. But we were sitting at the dinner table, Wendy, and Wendy says, look at that. The front had just kind of started to pass through, and on the backside towards the west was the most blue of blue skies as the sun was setting. It was a blue that I don't think I've ever seen before. Yeah. It was brilliant. It was vibrant. And it was just a little strip of it over the trees and between the clouds. And it was just there for a moment. And I thought to myself, yay, God. That was awesome. I was at the Grand Canyon many, many years ago. We were traveling back from a wedding, Wendy's sister's wedding, and we stopped at the Grand Canyon. We were walking around the top of that thing, and I remember just walking around and looking over going, this is awesome. This is crazy. And I remember standing there just going, yay, God. Who else could do that? When you think about it, church, you and I have the awesome experience to really know and to grasp the everlasting mercy of God when we just look at what he's doing in our life every day. The breath that we were given just then. The heartbeat that is beating in our chest right now. I woke up yesterday at 5:30 in the morning, and I walked through the living room to go to the coffee pot, and there was my dog sitting at a window just going. Now, normally when I get up, my dog comes to find me. But he just sat at the window, and I went, what is he looking at? And I went out there, and we have these landscape lights, and I go, it's snowing! At 5:30 in the morning, it took everything I had not to run into my wife's into where my wife was sleeping and go, Wendy, it's snowing! I'm smarter than that now. I just stood there, looked at Toby, and said, it's snowing outside. And he looked at me and was like, and? You got to go out and potty, don't you? And he just looked at me. I couldn't believe it. The first snow of the season is awesome. And I got all giddy about it. It was a miracle. Snow cannot happen unless God says snow. Now, when it's ucky and it's on the road and I'm driving in a Mustang, I have a choice to make. Am I going to be the one being thankful? So rather than using our breath to complain or to grumble, we need to be the one giving thanks for what the Lord has done. Rather than burning energy, I heard that. I think it was a pastor I was listening to on the radio this week. He said it takes 72 muscles to frown. It only takes 12 to smile. Do you know it takes more energy? You burn more. Now, some of you are trying this as a diet plan, and I don't think that's a good idea. There, I just burn more calories than doing this. I mean, think about it. Rather than burning the energy that the heart as it beats and the lungs as it passes gas and we have gas exchange and all the stuff that's going on at the cellular level and all these things, and rather than burning up energy being the grumpy shepherd, be the one that is telling of his wonders. What is God doing in your life right now? If you can't think of it, if your circumstances are so bad and your life is so upside down, then the one thing you can praise God for, or the 121,000 things you can praise God for today, is, whoo, there's a praise. Whoo, there's a praise. If you do it too fast, you'll pass out. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of the heart, church. It's not a matter of the mouth, it's a matter of the heart. Because the only thing that comes out of here is what starts right here. Look at verse 10. I'm not going to read, but 10 through 18, if you look at it, he's talking about we can give thanks to God because of the victories that are in our life. He struck Egypt in verse 10. He brings Israel out from among them in verse 11 with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Wow, it was almost as if whoever picked the songs read this psalm this week. She called me. What are you preaching on? I don't know. She says, as soon as you know, let me know. Sometimes that's like at 10:59 on 11 on Sunday morning. So I knew I needed to give her something. So about an hour later, I called her. I said, read Psalm 136. You'll get it. It's all we talked about this week when it came to the music. Normally, I don't do that, but it is awesome that God will literally take us and wrap his loving, merciful arms around us and lead us into a deeper relationship with him. And he does it so awesomely with that arm around us, with both arms around us, with a cloud of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. God will always lead us to victory. These verses remind us that God is the divine protector, a shield for his people. I mean, think about it. When you are facing some of the greatest struggles of your life, and I told the guys around the table this morning, we are in very dark days, not just as a country, but as a body of believers. We are being bombarded by attacks. We have families are being ripped and shredded in two. We have families who are fighting disease and financial struggles, and all these things are bombarding us, not to mention the politics of our world and all the craziness that's going on. And it's very difficult at times to be thankful. But when we look at these verses, it says that God is our shield. He is our divine protector. Matter of fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, the Bible says that God actually fights our battles. Now, I studied that verse this week, and I want you to understand something. God does not join us on the battlefield as our weapon of mass destruction. God does not join us on our battle. We don't need to be going, God, I'm over here fighting this battle, and I need you to show up on my side so that those people will run and I'll get victory. God does not join us in the battle. God does not join us as our weapon, and God does not join us as our good luck charm. No. The Bible says that he goes before us onto the battlefield and destroys the enemy. That's how the Bible describes the divine protector and the shield who is our God. He is fighting the battles. We are standing behind him enjoying the victory. You say, Pastor, it doesn't feel like I'm living in victory right now. My life is upside down. My troubles are really great. And I just don't see God fighting. It's not always a matter of what you see. It's a matter of faith. The Bible says that faith is the evidence of what you and I do not see. It's the evidence. It's the substance. It's of things that you and I sometimes cannot tangibly touch or smell or even feel, but we can know that the Word of God says that he is our divine protector, a shield for his people. He is out there right now beating down your enemy. These verses tell us that he's the great shepherd. He leads his sheep with an outstretched arm. Think about it. The Word of God tells us. Matter of fact, the Word of God commands us to ask God for the right path. God, show me where I need to be going. The good shepherd, the shepherd who is the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty himself, will outstretch his arm and he will lead you where you need to be. How many of us actually look in God's word for direction for everything in our life? Most of us in the church today turn to God when everything's upside down, not when everything's right side up. We don't treat him as a good shepherd. We don't treat him as the one to fight. We treat him as a vending machine. He says he will guide his sheep through difficult valleys. The Bible says he will guide his sheep over rugged terrain. The Bible says that he will take his sheep and he will move them to the greenest pastures. He will take his sheep and he will draw them to the cleanest, clearest, most purest streams of water. That's the God that you and I can give thanks for, because he is always going to be leading us on a path where he is providing victory. So rather than complaining about the trials of life, be the one that gives thanks for his promise of protection. Rather than complaining about the trials and the struggles of life, be the one that is giving thanks for his guidance through the trials. Most of us in the church, you know what we pray? At least, okay, I'll just speak for myself. When I'm in the midst of a trial, God, please remove this trial. God, I really don't want to go through this right now. God, I need this trial removed. God, remove the trials from my life. I want to live a happy life. I want to live a healthy life. I want to live a victorious life. So God, remove the trials. But the Bible says that it is through the trials that you and I find his strength. It is through the trials that you and I find his peace. It is through the trials that you and I find his comfort. So rather than being the grumpy shepherd, grumbling about our circumstances, you and I can be the one that gives thanks for his strength in the midst of our weak times. And let me tell you, weak times are plentiful in the Christian's life. Struggling times are plentiful in the Christian's life. We tend to look to one another and things of this world for strength and comfort when the God of the universe says, I will provide for your daily needs. Look at verse 25 with me. Told you I wasn't going to preach through all of them. He who gives food to all flesh. His mercy endures forever. He is the divine provider. Now listen, I know some of us like to find our favorite places to shop. Especially this time of year. If you watch television, you know that the advertisers come out galore. And why go out to the crazy busy malls when you can do all your shopping online? And you can go to your favorite store has an app. And I mean, we can be self-serving to the nth degree. God says, listen, I am the creator of all things. And I, God, want to provide for your need on a daily basis. You know, I have a friend, and they will remain nameless, but her favorite store is a French store, and we have it right here in Joplin. Matter of fact, they're in a lot of cities all across America, and when she was telling me this story, it was many, many years ago, before I even became a pastor, she was my pastor's wife, and she was kind of teasing, you know, where she gets her clothes, and she goes, yeah, I shop at a French store all the time, and you got to know Carolyn Warren. She dolled it up wonderfully. And I go, what are you talking about? She goes, I shop at Target. I'm like, what is this Target? Gail, what is Target? Awful. It is the place of death and darkness, especially this time of year. And she, I mean, she had me going for a long time because, I mean, Miss Carolyn dressed to the, I mean, she was it. Woo, everything was all boom, boom, boom. And I'd always tease her. I mean, do you get dressed up to go to bed, Carolyn? She's like, oh, yeah. So when she was telling about this Target, I'm going, man, I got to get my wife some clothes. Where is this? And then when she kind of let the thing out of the bag, I'm like, it's Target. It's just like Walmart on drugs. I mean, it's... I get my clothes off the clearance rack. I don't mean to be snobby, but the idea, many of us have, who do I pick on without, Shelby. Shelby's been selling her clothes on Facebook recently. My wife tells me. Oh, Shelby's got to be rich. And she's selling like Miss Me jeans. Yeah. Anybody know what Miss Me jeans are? Look at all the women. Yeah, and my wife goes, I wish I could fit into those. Those are like high dollar jeans, right? Yeah. Okay, if anybody needs Miss Me jeans, see, she's selling for what, $5 a pair? Yeah? Anyway, those are like high dollar, them's the things, them's the Porsches of jeans, I guess. So let's say ladies or guys or whoever, that you have the opportunity this time of year to have your needs met by the upper echelon of need-meeting stores. You're not going to the Targets and please don't take offense to this. I mean, you know, there are stores who sell the same thing that Target and Walmart sell, but they sell them for like $5,000. It's called Macy's of New York. Been there. Been to Macy's in New York. Last Easter, I was at Macy's in New York. My wife and I are shopping. It's the same stuff that's at Macy's of our mall. What's our mall called? Huh? Yeah. It's the same stuff. Same. It's just in a rack in a different state. And it's like 10 times the money. My wife totes around a jacket that she paid like $8 for. But the ticket was $800. You go online Macy's, it's 37 cents. That's how crazy it is. Well, people, I shopped at Macy's in New York and bought this. I look at you and go, you're not very smart. Almost use the S word. But there are people who will, oh, this is awesome stuff. And then there are people who are like me and my wife and are snobs and go, we only buy Campbell's soup, not Best Choice. Although I saw a commercial by Campbell's today, I'm not buying Campbell's soup anymore. You get my point? Have I made my point? There are those who will go to these great, big, happy, good-looking, clothes-wearing food suppliers because of the name. Oh, God's name is so much greater. God's blessings are so much greater. In James 1:17, it says, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father. Now, I can be this person. I can look at a present and look at the tag. I have a mother-in-law who only shops at Hallmark, and you only get a Hallmark card. She even puts a little seal on it so that you know. Crown best, right? I love it. I love it. I love it. And I don't. You get a card from me, it's recycled. But every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father. He says, listen, I don't want to send it through a messenger. I'm not going to send it through the Amazon or the other little things that are flying around, UPS and FedEx or the American Postal Service. God says, I'm going to hand deliver my stuff into your life. Oh man, I don't think we grasp that so much, that God himself says, I'm going to give you everything from me. Psalm 147, verse 9, the Bible says he feeds the beast and the bird. There's many times in my life I act like the beast. God doesn't withhold my daily needs. That's mercy. You know, there are times in my life when people disappoint me or they don't act like I think they should, or they don't do unto me like I wish they would. So you know what I do? I act on them. Not like I wish they would act on me, but I act on them by what I think they deserve. I do that all the time. We as humans do that. God says, that's not how I'm going to do it. I will feed the beast and I will feed the bird. It's a picture of I will feed that which is undeserving and I will feed that which is deserving. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. God says, listen, I want you to understand. I want you to understand right now that you can't be so far from me that you can't know my love. Matthew 6, Jesus says, don't be anxious about food or water or clothes. Don't even be anxious about the span of your life. The God of the universe knows every need, and he has promised to meet each and every one of those needs just as he planned. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 32 says, God spares no expense to care for and provide for his children. God spares no expense. Yeah, I mean, I start thinking about that, and we budget for Christmas, and we budget for that, and we budget for this, and if we go over our budget, we're like, oh, shucks. God says, listen, I will empty the bank for you. Matter of fact, that's what he did for us through his son. He emptied the bank. Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2 said he did not consider equality with God something to be held on to. Rather, he emptied himself. He emptied the bank so that you and I might have life. It's amazing. Philippians chapter 4, God says he will supply our need through his riches in glory through Jesus Christ. Hello? He has supplied every need that we have through the riches that are Jesus Christ. And he says, Jesus Christ is your answer to anything and everything that you're facing right now. You don't need to go to church more. You don't need to read your Bible more. You don't need to pray more. You need more of Jesus, which will cause you to be on your knees in prayer, thanking him or seeking guidance from him. You need Jesus more, which will cause you to be drawn to his people more and his presence more and fellowshipping with your brothers. You will actually want to be with that kind of family. You don't need anything right now but more of Jesus in your life. And yet, we'll take that invitation. We'll take that invitation to say, come on, Lord, I can't get through this trial today. Well, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds, and I don't even know if I want tomorrow. Or we'll take the invitation. We're going, God, my life feels pretty good right now. I mean, I don't know what that preacher's talking about. My marriage is fine. My finances are fine. My job, I couldn't be better off in this world right now. I don't know what he's talking about. Need more of Jesus. So many people are sitting in churches and they're so full of the world they don't even recognize they're empty of Christ. I didn't say they're sitting out there in the bars. I didn't say they're sitting out there at the sporting events or in the deer woods or in the duck woods or in the fishing holes or whatever. I didn't say they're out there. I said so many people are sitting in churches today and they're so filled with the world that they don't recognize that they're empty when it comes to Christ. Life is good on this earth. Now listen, Wendy, we've said it recently. Our marriage is good. We're happy. We're living a pretty good life right now. I'm not saying that as a Christian, you got to be miserable. No, 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 no. 26 times God says, I'm giving you reason to shout. But so many of us are living our lives just because the world is going by, we're not facing any struggles, that we're content not knowing all there is to know about the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. It's easy to preach to people who are broken. It's easy to preach to people who are facing incredible trials because they're in the midst of a dark storm and they want answers and they want help. And you tell them, turn to Jesus. They're like, all right. The sad thing is all those people who finish out a Sunday morning in the pew who aren't facing those battles, who are not turning to Jesus. They've got him back here in the hip pocket. Yeah, I'm a church member. I got my name on a roll. I throw out some money in the thing, and we got a new mission opportunity, so I'm going to take some ornaments off a tree, or I'm going to give some money for a wreath, or I'll throw some money in those little red pots that where the people jingle bells, and I'll sing the right songs, and I'll say Jesus is the reason for the season. But there's nothing on the inside of Jesus. The God of the universe wants to provide for your every momentary need. 121,000 miracles every day in your life. Rather than complaining about not getting what you want, be the one that gives thanks for your daily bread. Rather than grumbling about your lack of, gosh, fill in the blank, be the one that gives thanks in his abundance. Paul gives the character qualities in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that set apart the church. The things that set the Christian apart from the world. Are we being the one that is thankful? There really is a lot to be thankful for this time of year. Health. Family, semi-secure situations in our lives, loved ones, our homes, there's a whole plethora of things we start, as Kevin said, listing them out to be thankful for. But the psalmist reminds us of the greatest thing to give thanks for, his everlasting mercy. God says right now, in this moment, would you turn to me? Would you just look heavenward and turn all of your attention to me and realize that I love you with a love that never ends? God says right now at the end of this service, at this invitation, will you turn your eyes to me, and will you realize that my endless mercy is streaming right towards you? God says right now, in the midst of your battle, would you recognize right now that in the midst of this battle, I will bring you peace, which is security, strength, and hope. And God says, would you look to heaven right now? And though everything seems perfectly natural and normal in your life, would you look to heaven right now and praise me for my everlasting kindness towards you? As Kevin comes and leads us, we're going to leave this place this week, today, and go into a week of Thanksgiving. Some of us have great plans for family and travel and all kinds of stuff. And many of us have incredible traditions that we're looking forward to around the Thanksgiving table. And some of you have brand new things that are going to happen in your life. Much to be thankful for. But my friends, I got to ask you this question. Are you willing to go through this world, this life on this world, experiencing the blessings that this world has to offer, all the good stuff this world has to offer? Are you willing to go through this life right now in this day, enjoying the things of this world, but have an eternity of hell. See, the Bible says that if Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life, as in the one who owns it, the one who has signed off on deed of ownership, Jesus, Lord. If he is not the Lord of your life, then the Bible says he is not your Savior. Many people have prayed a prayer, walked an aisle, and got dunked in their lifetime. You're putting your eternal life into a stroll down an aisle, a few words spoken, and if it was this church, dirty water. Too many of us sit through our lives saying, I've done those things, therefore I am a Christian. The Bible says, unless your life is found in Christ, you are nothing. You are not saved by your walk down an aisle. You are not saved by your words that you speak. You are not saved by getting wet in a dunk tank. You are not saved by any action of your own, good or bad, in church or out of church. You're not saved by the good intentions of your heart. You are saved only by the blood of the Lamb. You are saved by His grace through faith in Him alone. What that means is you can never walk this aisle and still be saved. That means you can never speak a word and still be saved. You can never get wet and still be saved. Now, before some of you legalists go flipping out over me, think about it for just a moment. When you truly give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you surrender everything that you are unto Him, do you think you can keep your mouth shut? The Bible says you can't. The Bible says that when you've given your life over to the Lord, the Holy Spirit fills you and you can't shut up. That's Acts 1:8. The Bible says that when Christ has changed you and He's given you a new heart, that new heart caused you to have a new spirit. And you know what that new spirit caused you to do? Do things different. You become a new creation. You want the old gone. So you'd be saying, all right, I've given my life to Christ. What's next? Walk by faith. Okay, where do I walk? I'd walk right through that door, up those stairs, into that dunk tank. And I'd say, let me tell you, church, Jesus Christ took this dirty old sinner and raised me new. You don't want to share that testimony with a bunch of people that are going to shout amen, praise God, shout with you? You might think this judgmental, but I look at you and go, then you probably ain't a true born-again, blood-bought believer if you don't want to give a beautiful picture of regeneration. Washing of the old and bringing the new. You know, when you have a personal relationship with somebody, you kind of like to talk to them. So I promise you, if you're a born-again, blood-bought believer, you got an intimate, growing relationship with Jesus Christ because you can't wait to talk to Him next. You can't wait to hear from Him next. That's what it means to have Him as Lord. Now, if that doesn't describe you, get off your fanny. Get off your fanny and walk down this aisle. Kneel at this prayer bench. Kneel, come up here and say, I want to give my life to the Lord. I want His name signed on my deed. I need to do that right now. Or get off your fanny and get out the door, because you know what? That's all we're going to talk about around here. Is what God wants to do in your life and how important it is for you to follow Him. You're not going to have any fun in this place if you're not walking with Jesus. So I'll give you the invitation. Get up off your fannies, church. Okay, y'all been lost because you don't know you're the church. Get off your fannies and come find Jesus. Stand up. Turn your eyes to heaven this morning. I know there's people in this room that desperately need to hear God speak into their situation. Look to Him. If you don't want to look up because you think people think you got problems, then look down right into His Word. Open it up and say, God, I need Your Word for my situation. Trust Him by faith that He's going to speak into your life. There's people in here, their life is great. Their marriage is awesome. Their finances are set. They don't have any qualms about living for Jesus. Please look in front of you, behind you, and beside you, because there are people who are hurting. They need your hand. They need your testimony. They need your prayers. They need your witness. And let me speak to you in this room who are looking to this world for strength and comfort. The Bible says this world's going away. It's fading fast. So if your strength and your comfort, if your security, your satisfaction, your happiness, your contentment is wrapped up in this world, then all those things are fading fast. But the one thing that never fades, the one thing that will never leave you, the one thing that will never turn its back on you, the one thing that will never disappoint you is the thing that is Jesus Christ. So turn your eyes to Him today. Look full in His face. Open your ears and your heart to Him. And then respond. If you need Christ Jesus, now's a great time to come on forward. I'll share Him with you. If you want to come and pray for that one who is hurting, you want to come and seek the will of God, whatever it is, this invitation is open to any and to all who would come. Father, lead us today. God, speak into the hearts of each and every one of us in this place today. God, I ask that you would bind up the enemy from his distractions, discouragements, the garbage that he's trying to sow into people's lives to reap a harvest. Father, I pray that just for this moment, all ears, all eyes, all hearts are turning to you. That your will would be done in this place right here, in these people, just as it is in heaven, for your glory. Altar's open. Church, you come.